Poet Denise Levertov died Saturday of complications from lymphoma. She was 74. Levertov reached her largest audience during the war in Vietnam when she read at demonstrations. She was a founder of the group Writers and Artists Protest Against the War in Vietnam. Her friend and fellow poet Robert Creeley was quoted in today's New York Times saying, "Levertov was a remarkable and transforming poet for all of us. She always had a vivid emotional response and also a completely dedicated sense of political and social need." Levertov is survived by her son Nikolai. When I spoke with Denise Levertov in 1987, she read a poem about her fear that she would outlive her son, who had been very ill.
This poem was begun when my son was very, very ill. It was finished quite a long time after he did recover. And it has sections which are just marked off by a little sort of dot. During a son's dangerous illness, you could die before me. I've known it always, the dreaded worst, unnatural but possible in the play of matter and growth and fate. My sister Philippa died 12 years before I was born, the perfect laughing firstborn, a gift to be cherished, as my orphaned mother had not been cherished. Suddenly, death, a baby, cold and still. Parent, child, death ignores protocol. A sweep of its cape brushes this one or that one at random into the dust. It was not even looking. What becomes of the past if the future snaps off brittle, the present left as a jagged edge opening on nothing? Grief for the menaced world, lost rivers, poisoned lakes, all creatures perhaps to be fire blasted off the whirling cinder we loved but not enough. The grief I'd know if I lived into your unthinkable death is a splinter of that selfsame grief, infinitely smaller but the same in kind, one stretching the mind's fibers to touch eternal nothingness, the other tasting in fear the desolation of survival.
You wrote that poem after your son faced a terrible illness.
He had brain surgery, yes.
Did you think about things like that during the war in Vietnam, too, about mothers whose sons were possibly going to be killed in the war, who would, like you were fearing, possibly outlive their child, which is one of the most terrifying
things. Awful things to think of, isn't it? Well, I suppose I must have thought of that along with other things. I don't think I thought of it in that particularly outstanding way, though. When I went to Vietnam in 1972 and visited a number of hospitals, I did see many, many injured children whose feet had been blown off by American fragmentation bombs, anti-personnel weapons. And I think that at that time I perhaps was more concerned about the continuing life of people that badly damaged. And I remember seeing a mother sitting beside her child's bedside, and the child was just sort of vegetabilized, you know. I think that's worse than death.
One thing I'm sure was really exciting for poets like yourself during the war was that there was an audience for the poems. I mean, poets were reading at readings. I mean, poets were reading at demonstrations.
At demonstrations, yes.
Poets were finding the words to express and to dramatize the ideas that so many people were sharing. And we go through so many periods in America where poets are totally marginalized and unlistened to.
Well, one of the things that was moving to me at that time that I felt very good about was letters that I would get from people who were draft resistors, who read poems of mine in prison and passed them around to each other. Or sometimes people who, you know, just were active in the peace movement and wrote and said that they always put some poems of mine in their backpack when they went off to a demonstration or a civil disobedience action. I felt very good about that. And I think that if that isn't happening now, it is because there is so much apathy. It's horrible, actually, to read at a demonstration, you know? It's like trying to play chamber music in a stadium. It's a completely unsuitable place for poetry, really. One has to kind of bawl it out over a loudspeaker system.
Oh, sure, right.
And you're reading to
a mob,
a moving audience. I mean, when I go to demonstrations, I don't listen very carefully to the speeches. I mill around and look for my friends and see how many people are there. And, you know, I don't think that one listens to speeches very carefully at demonstrations. They have to be speeches, and they have to perhaps even be poems. And if I'm asked, I always comply because, you know, if that's what's wanted, I will do it. But it really is a horrible experience to read it at a huge demonstration.
Denise Levertov recorded in 1987. Let's hear one more poem from her Fresh Air interview.
Keeping track. Between chores, hulling strawberries, answering letters, or between poems, returning to the mirror to see if I'm there.
Poet Denise Levertov died Saturday at the age of 74.